G'day, Rich. It's Friday the 28th of April, 2006. I've been sitting here for half an hour waiting for you while you've been fracking around there. What have you been doing?
Well, I was running a tad late because getting my daughter sorted and stuff, but the when I got to my computer, the audio wasn't working. I just couldn't hear anything at all, so I thought, oh, I'll reboot Skype, which I did, and even that didn't work, so I had to... I literally had to reboot the whole system to get my audio back. And I got no idea why that was, because when I left it last night, the audio was fine.
Yeah, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I figured you wouldn't anyway. I'm surprised you asked.
My sound level still looks a lot quieter than yours on my little Skylook beta here. Do I sound quiet?
No, you sound good.
Got everything turned up here. All right, well, this is the first G'day World that I'm doing with my new Shure mics, my SM58, one of two.
I was going to say, so you've got two. Is the other one's for interviewing locally, or...?
Yeah, when I go out and I do Father Bob. I did one yesterday with Father Bob. So I've got two mics and two little portable mic stands with some goosenecks, and it was good. I mean, these are really... They pick stuff up well, don't they? In fact, they pick stuff up so well, I have to turn everything off in the house.
Yeah.
They pick up everything. I got my desktop over in the corner of the room turned off, and I had to turn the heating off because it could pick up the air conditioning, the heating buzzing through.
That's interesting, but you should be able to turn it down so that it's only picking up you close to the microphone. And what have you got? You've got a Behringer rack as well, don't you, for input?
They're going into a Behringer Euro rack. So, you know, as I said on my blog, I've been podcasting now for 18 months, and this is the first time I've really spent any considerable money on equipment, because I finally got sick of the sound of my voice. And I'm also doing some stuff for some paid clients, and I figured I needed to spend the money to make it sound as good as possible. But these microphones aren't that expensive, are they? The Shure SM58s paid $150 a pop.
Yeah, that's right. And I know a lot of musicians swear by them because they're not that expensive and they're meant to be quite good. I mean, I think you can splash out and buy some cardios that are worth, you know, several hundred bucks, but I figured when you were compressing it down slightly anyway, all you wanted was it to be, the quality to be decent, and I think the 58's pretty good.
Yeah. So, yeah, they go into the Behringer, and then the Behringer goes into the external USB sound card that I have. Now, both the Behringer and the sound card I bought a couple of years ago to record some songs, some music on, you know, writing some music. Never really used them much, though. In fact, I think this is the first time I've ever really used the Behringer for doing this shit. But anyway, so there's not a lot of news today. I just wanted to play with my mics, really.
Yeah, well, we can talk about Google again. That happens every couple of weeks or something. Or
well, we should talk about Google. Google has released a piece of 3D modeling software called SketchUp that they acquired recently. And they've got a free version and a paid-for version, SketchUp Pro, which is about $500 US. Now, this is interesting. I've just downloaded it. Haven't installed it yet, but I'm going to do that.
What I'd be interested to know is if it works with stuff like Second Life, because I think there's going to be a requirement for a simple 3D modelling environment that a lot of people are going to want to just muck around with if they want to get into things like Second Life a bit more. At the moment, you have to pay bucket loads of money or get something called Blender, which is open source but highly complicated.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be good. If you could build something in SketchUp and then import it into Second Life, that's what you're suggesting?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, but I don't know. I haven't looked at this SketchUp thing, so I have no idea what it outputs in and whether or not it'll work and stuff like that. But it'd be interesting.
Yeah. But there you go. Google's out there making software available for free. Interesting to see. I mean, I've never used 3D software before. I've got a sister who does a lot of 3D modelling stuff for her work, but I've never used it, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of uses I can find for it.
before I got into blogging, which then consumed a bucket load of my time, I used to kind of do 3D modelling as a bit of a, you know, a home hobby type thing. So I'd get on the computer, and the aim was to actually do a 3D model of my mate's aeroplane, and then map it against some actual live video, you know, digital video driving through a tunnel, and have the plane. But I never actually got that far. I think blogging got in the way after a while and consumed all of my spare time.
Can you think of any practical purpose for the masses to have 3D modeling software apart from, you know, design that extension to your home?
I can't really think of anything. I mean, because it might come in handy for people that are doing simple design stuff, but again, that's more like hobby, or you know, some depends how comprehensive it is. I might actually have a look at it because I wanted to do a bit of a 3D model of someone's logo, a client that I've got. But you know, I can't see day to day use of, because it's not any 3D modeling isn't simple. I mean, I can guarantee you that if it is simple, then it's going to create you a square or a sphere or something, and it, you know. But I mean, there's a lot that goes into modeling. That's why they pay them the big bucks to do things like, you know, Pixar stuff and the like.
All right. Now, before we get on to the real sort of technology news today, I wanted to talk about this private Covco affair in Australia. So for listeners in Australia will be, hey, Snoop Dogg's been arrested.
Has he?
Hey, what's going on? Oh, sorry, we have to break everything for Snoop Dogg news. American rapper Snoop Dogg was in police custody today after being arrested with five other men following a disturbance at London's Heathrow Airport. The police source said the 34-year-old star, a former member of the notorious Los Angeles Crips gang, was held after a fight broke out when police were escorting him and his entourage out of the airport yesterday evening. Scotland Yard said seven police suffered minor injuries, including a fractured hand. Oh, no. Oh, so a disturbance involving 30 people in a British Airways business lounge. Members of the group became abusive, said a police spokesman. They were called Police Wizzy, Snoop Doggle Dizzy. Do you know that Snoop Dogg's real name is Calvin Broadus?
I've heard all of these rappers' names at some point, I'm sure, but I haven't paid an awful lot of attention. That's not too bad, DJ Calvin.
Yeah, DJ Cal. Anyway, so getting back to the private Covco affair. So Australian listeners will be familiar with what's going on here. There was an Australian soldier in Iraq who was killed, the first Australian soldier killed in Iraq. He was killed the other day, and now the story that hit the press was that he was maintaining his pistol and it went off and shot him in the head. Now, right from the get-go, I went, bullshit. You know, I'm no weapons expert, and I've never been in the military, but I've seen enough movies to know that these guys, when you start cleaning your gun, you take the bullets out before you start cleaning the gun. Even I would know to take the bullets out before I start cleaning my gun. So, anyway, just it smelt like bullshit to me from the start. Anyway, that's what they said. They said he was cleaning his gun and it accidentally went off. Then they were going to fly his body back to Australia for the funeral, but somebody else's body turned up. This guy's from Melbourne. From Victoria, from country Victoria. An unidentified Bosnian man's body turned up instead of Kovko's body. And they blame that on the private contractor who was supposed to be flying the body out here. And now the mother of Private Kovco, who has a wife and children, the mother's come out and said she doesn't buy this story of him shooting himself in the head. And now Brendan Nelson, who's the defence minister in Australia, he's backing down on the story. He originally said he was cleaning the gun and it went off. Now he's saying, he's changing his story, saying it was near him, in his vicinity, and he made some kind of movement which suggests that it discharged. What?
He looked at the gun the wrong way. You don't want to muck around with looking at guns.
Yeah.
Either that or Snoop Dogg was there and there was a disturbance.
Yeah. Snoop Double Dizzy got the gun, it's whizzy. There's some bullshit going on here. I mean, this is just, you know, there's bullshit going on. I don't believe that the wrong body turning up was accidental. I believe that there's bullshit going on, man. Bullshit going on.
So where are we at? Because I don't know where we're up to. Can they launch an investigation, you know, other than a military investigation?
Well, that's the other thing, right? Yeah, they've said there's going to be an investigation with a senior army official and a civilian pathologist. Now, you don't get the army to investigate the army people. They're all in it together. That's like, you know, when they go, oh yeah, there's going to be an inquiry into something. You know, when some Victorian cop is caught selling drugs or taking money or some shit, they go, oh, there's going to be an investigation. Yes, we're going to put his mate Jono in charge. You know, his mate Jono, who works with him, he's in charge. It's all fair. It's good.
Yeah, Jono's all right. A few days of detox and he'll be able to do the investigation just fine.
Jono would be here today, but he's sailing his catamaran. He's sailing on his his private yacht, but his private helicopter's bringing him in. Yeah, no, he's
straight down the line. I've known him for years. Yeah,
he's a corporal, makes 45 grand a year. He's all right. He's a good bloke. Gifts from friends. Those things were gifts from friends. Yeah, anyway, so they got a senior army. Nah, come on. Fuck that. You don't put senior army officers in charge of shit like this. So something very strange is going on. Now, they're saying, obviously, it didn't happen in the line of duty. He was obviously, he'd come back from a, this is the story. He'd come back from a patrol and then he got shot in the head. In his...
Because he made some movement near the gun.
Movement, yeah. Some movement near the gun. The gun got a little bit scared. Wait, what was that? The gun was feeling a little bit edgy that day. Hadn't had enough sleep. They'd been taking some uppers.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are the options? The options are it was suicide. The options are that he got shot by somebody else. It was friendly fire. Or, you know, it was, you know, something went wrong, basically. We got to make sure that the truth is told to the family.
And, pretty certain it's not suicide, right? Because if it was suicide, I don't think the army would have any issue coming out saying, yep, suicide.
Well, they don't really want you thinking, yeah, it's so fucked up over there, our soldiers are killing themselves.
Yeah, but, I mean, let's face it, they could, you know, come out with some other reason, you know, that's psychological or whatever, but it's less damaging than sounding stupid like they are at the moment, right?
Yeah. So on Saturday, the Defence Minister, Brendan Nelson, said Private Kovko had been handling his weapon, quote, maintaining it as soldiers are required to do, end quote, and, quote, for some unexplained reason, the firearm discharged, end quote. But now he's backing off. Now, this guy was apparently a marksman, highly trained marksman, he's been called in the press. So, it just all stinks of bullshit.
Mm.
He had returned to his room with two of his mates. They had been out on patrol. He was doing something other than handling his firearm, and in the process of fiddling about with the other equipment he had, it would appear that in some way he's knocked his gun and it's discharged. This is what Brendan Nelson's saying today.
Mm,
he was in the process of fiddling about. They've obviously gone to great detail here to find out exactly what happened, because the defence minister is saying that he was in the process of fiddling about with some other equipment that he had.
It took those spin doctors in the government hours to come up with that phrase.
The best minds of our generation.
What can we say? What was he doing? I know, he was fiddling about.
He was having a fiddle. The mother has said, he didn't shoot himself. The gun went off. It was near him. It was nearby. What did Jake do? Put his head down near the table so I could shoot him in the head? So, anyway. The body's on its way home, apparently.
The real one this time.
Yeah. So something stinks over that, I'm thinking. All right, on with the technology news, ladies and gentlemen. Seagate are coming out, or have come out, with a 750 gigabyte hard drive. The largest hard drive to date, sets new high water marks for capacity, price, and performance, according to PC World magazine.
So this is the new perpendicular recording stuff, isn't it? That's what it says. Seagate expands desktop hard drive lead with 750 gigabyte monster built on perpendicular recording technology. And I saw a presentation on this perpendicular recording technology, which is a really bad thing. What, PRT? They could at least come up with something funkier, couldn't they? Essentially, the difference is that when you're recording onto conventional hard drives, the information is laid out sort of horizontal, so you can fit a certain amount of bits on. And the idea is that they're going to flip those so that they're actually vertical, so you can fit on like four times as much. So basically what we're seeing here is, given that it's the first generation, we're actually seeing the beginning of a big leap, I think, into another range of size of storage. So I'd imagine next year and the year after we'll start to see us get over a terabyte in these size disks, which is just mind-boggling when you think about it.
It is. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, I remember a presentation from Jeff Rakes, quite a few years ago now. Jeff's one of the senior VPs at Microsoft, been there for donkey's years, and I can't remember what he's run. He used to run Office, but I don't know what he's running now. He was in Australia just recently again. Anyway, so on Frank Arrigo's blog. Anyway, I remember Jeff coming and doing a presentation, had breakfast to the team, probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago now, and sort of predicting that in 5 years you'd be buying terabyte hard drives, which is about now, right? We'd be buying terabyte hard drives for about $100, and they would be going into our TVs, and they'd be inbuilt in the TVs. And, we're not there yet. It hasn't grown as quickly as I think people were projecting 5 years ago, but, certainly this sort of vertical technology could change that, right, in the next few years.
Yeah, that's what they say. I mean, they're talking the ability to do multi-terabytes fairly quickly, so it's going to be interesting to see whether or not that'll get down to the $100 price range. You know, I don't know. I mean, you can't even get, let's face it, at the moment, flash drives are pretty popular because they're going into all sorts of devices, so you'd imagine that those types of things are coming down quite dramatically in price, and you still can't get simple flash drives for, less than a few $100 in that size range.
And for hard drives, you're paying about something like, $0.95 a gigabyte.
Yeah, it's unreal, isn't it?
That's about right. My 200 gig drive I bought the other day cost me about $180, I think.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. So it's less than $1 a gigabyte you're paying at the moment. So, if this Seagate Barracuda, Barracuda. Remember that song?
No. But you're making it sound like some Western from like the 1950s or something.
No, it was a great song by, I think, Heart in the 70s. Somebody will pick me up on that. Somebody will tell me, no, it's bullshit, man. If I had my All Music search here, I'd All Music Barracuda. I think it was by Heart. One of those 70s kind of rock bands. Great song. Anyway, there you go. Barracuda.
I just get images of the Lone Ranger when you do that.
Yeah, dun 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 dun. No, that was something else. What was that?
Yeah, that was some other 50s or 60s American show, wasn't it?
Bonanza!
That's the one, yeah.
Oh, we've got to play a message here. Oh, no, I'm getting into so much trouble, man.
Are you? What about this time?
Michael Kordahi.
Oh.
Now, this
getting
is
his name wrong.
Yeah, I got his name wrong again, man. Can you believe that? So this is Delicate Genius, who did the Cory Doctorow recording for us that we put in the show. First of all, I called him Corleone, and then I called him Corhani. His name's actually Kordahi. Now, just to prove that that is his name, I'm going to play you a clip here. He sent me this audio. This is Michael's two-year-old daughter explaining how the name is pronounced and calling me a retard.
Priceless.
Listen to this.
All right, Cameron, it's Michael Kordahi again. Fucking up my surname again. All right, one of three things are happening here, right? As far as I can tell. One, you're a stupid, white, ignorant Anglo who just refuses to embrace and learn new things. If this is the case, then cool. Then carry on your blissful existence, and I wish you well. Two, you have some sort of freaky, funky impediment that makes you incapable of pronouncing names and learning new things and embracing things that you're not comfortable with. This might be the case, I'm going to assume. So if it is the case, let me put you on to my two-year-old daughter who is capable of pronouncing my name. Hold on a sec.
Hello, Cameron. My name is Joe Kordahi. I'm here to teach you how to say Kordahi, because you're retarded. First, we start with a T, and then we have an O, and then we have an R, and then we have a D, and then we have an A, and then we have an H, and then we have an I, and spells Kordahi. Now you can say Kordahi. Bye-bye.
Alright, so the third option is that you're fucking with me. And I know I'm not the brightest lesbian in the porno, and I know that I don't always get everything, and I'm hoping that this is the case. That you're actually fucking with me, and that you actually do possess the ability to say the word Kordahi. So I bid you farewell, and I hope that you somehow muster the energy and the courage, and somehow fight your inability to say my name, and just dig deep down from within you, and somehow manage to say the word Kordahi.
I know I'm not the brightest lesbian in the porno. What?
The brightest what?
The brightest lesbian in the porno, he says. I know I'm not the brightest lesbian in the porno. What? Oh, it's too funny, man. I'm going to... we got to get him on the show, man. We got to get him on the show. We got to get his daughter on the show. That is the funniest thing I've ever heard, man. Oh, man. I laughed my ass off. Anyway, there you go, Michael. It just wasn't in front of me at the time. I couldn't remember. Come on, man.
And he's got brain damage.
I got brain damage, and you know. Oh, funny. Funny shit, man. Okay, what else we got in the news today? According to Wired News, there's some crazy-ass researchers in Canada, at Carleton University, Ottawa. Ottawa? It's a very strange name. Ottawa?
Yeah, that's the Japanese part of
Ottawa.
Canada.
Ottawa! Yeah! Very good! I'm from Ottawa!
So we've just managed to insult two nations just in one go there.
Well, you know that the hosts that we've had on TPN from Canada have been the biggest pains in the arse.
Is that because they start a show and disappear, or they do worse?
You know, they either disappear or they just give me shit and cause trouble. I got an email from a guy from Canada the other day, I said, I've had some Canadian hosts and they were pains in the ass. Don't do shit, don't turn up. Steve, sent me this email. Steve Fox! He says, tell Richard to hurry up and do another frickin' Gadget Show cast. But then I think that was before you put out the one with Craig Newmark from Craig's List. That was a good interview, man. He was a bit dry.
He was difficult to interview because he was fairly non-committal, which, you know, I respect. I mean, he's a whether it's his personality type or this is just the way he's learnt to carry on in life.
Hmm? Is he gay?
I have no idea.
He's from San Francisco.
Says he must be then.
He just sounded gay to me for some reason.
Yeah, I didn't pick that. I mean, I guess I wasn't listening particularly for that. He's just got a mindset that says, I'll deal with my business and nobody else's, I think, is generally where he's coming from. And I respect that. I think good.
Hope Scott Sherman doesn't listen to this show. I get so much crap out of saying he sounded gay. What the hell does that mean? What does sound gay mean? I don't know what that means. Although Scott Sherman sounds gay, and he is, so there you go.
You can't be given shit for anything, not appreciating gay people, because I haven't seen any other networks running any gay podcasts, are there?
Oh, I don't know about networks. There's definitely gay podcasts.
Pretty obvious. I mean, there's probably dozens of them.
Yeah, while we're on that, we should do a shout out to the Human Rights Campaign that have just taken out a 12-month sponsorship of the Gay Parenting Show on TV.
Yeah, fabulous stuff. A lot of hard work, I'd imagine, by Scott.
Pretty good of them. A little bit of hard work. Some contacts in the industry and that kind of stuff that he had, obviously. But it was really good, and he shot me an email this morning. They just sent an email out to their distribution list. They got 20,000 people on an email list. They just sent out plugging the show, that should be good for the show too. Shout out to Steve Fox. He said we should have a fucking Canadian show. I just saw a banner on the TPN site and said you want to host your own podcast. You should have a fucking Canadian show because you seem to like us so much. And that's what I said, yeah, I've had some Canadian hosts and they're all a pain in the ass.
Is that what he thought the name of the show should be?
Yeah, well, he didn't write fucking, he wrote F apostrophe N.
Effin.
You know, why bother? Like, I never understand that. Like, I know you mean fucking, so just write it and stop me having to read between the lines.
He could have meant fracking.
Fracking! Oh man, that's what we got to hurry up and finish this show. I finally downloaded the final episode of BSG season 2. Man, I've got to go down and watch it.
I haven't seen probably the last two or three yet. We're still a
season. Jump on a plane, come over, hang out.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Oh man, I was saying to Ewan on the movie show last night, hey, we did our first movie show in 2 months. Can you believe that Ewan and I did together? 2 months, unbelievable.
Really?
And I was saying that season 2 wasn't as good as season 1 with BSG2. There's a kind of few not as good episodes, but generally speaking, it still kicks ass. Now, there's another comment. We got another audio comment here from Ken Kennedy.
Ah, Ken.
Ken, the porno star.
Porn star, mate, yeah. I wonder if he's not the brightest lesbian in the porn show. That might mean.
He doesn't have a lesbian name. He's got a man's name.
Yeah, cool name. He could have been on Bonanza.
Kennedy. Oh, hold on. I was talking about something before I got into the Ken Kennedy thing. That's how I got into the Canadian thing in the first place. Damn. From Ottawa. Ottawa. Jesus, I'm talking some shit this morning. This is in Wired News. What if... I'll do it. As soon as I get the mic, I'm going to do it in my movie show, my movie trailer voice. What if you could one day unlock your door and access your bank account by simply thinking your password? Too far out? Not for this man. Researchers at Carleton University in Ottawa, Canada, are exploring the possibility of a biometric security device that will use a person's thoughts to authenticate his or her identity. Their idea of utilizing brainwave signatures as past thoughts is based on the premise that brainwaves are unique to each individual. So about that, you could think your password.
I was expecting you to end it with, this message will self-destruct in 10 seconds.
we got some new hosts coming up on TPN that seriously have those kinds of voices, man.
Do they?
Scott Coombs is doing a video show called The Martial Arts Explorer, where they teach self-defense tips on a video show. It's kick-ass.
Cool.
But Scott, who's one of the instructors, has got this deep, bitch-ass Darth Vader voice, man. But he's a big white guy. And I've been trying to get him to... I'm trying to come up with some funny promo ideas. He's got one of those voices that sounds like, you know, radio jock voice.
And then just have a real skinny guy on the...
Well, I'm trying to get him to do just say some stupid shit for TPM promos with that sort of really serious radio voice. I don't know. Whatever. But I can't think of anything funny because I don't have anything funny. Oh, you know what I did last night? Oh, I kicked my toe.
And
I
fractured it. Yeah. You fractured it again.
Well, I bumped the bone out, and I knew that, and I could see it was crooked again, so I had to do what the doctor did. I had to grab the end of my little toe and straighten it, pull it out at midnight by myself. Oh, man.
Did she tell you to do that if you happen to knock it out of place, or you just figured you'd better?
Yeah, I just figured it'd better, you know. Man. So anyway, this researcher, Julie Thorpe, who we should try and get on the show. I've had no luck trying to get anyone on the show this week. I haven't tried either. I have to confess. Have you?
so you've had 100% luck because you haven't tried. I still want the... What was it? The Church of the...
Stang. Yeah. Reverend Stang. Yeah, well, send him an email because he ignored my email.
I'll have a look into it and I'll send... Maybe not him. I'll send it to someone else. See if we... Anyone we can get from there on the show. That'd be cool.
Yeah, so anyway, researcher Julie Thorpe says, can we observe a user-controllable signal encoding hundreds or thousands of bits of information in a respectable fashion? That's the real question. We think it may be possible. So, new biometric tool, brain signals they're working on. I reckon that's pretty cool. Got anything else for me, Rich?
Yeah, I was intrigued by the Facebook stuff.
Nah. Boring ass shit, this Facebook stuff, man.
No, I'm intrigued by its expansion plans because, you know, they've only invited certain corporates. And what I'm wondering is whether or not they're actually going to offend people rather than attract people.
I think people will get offended because they haven't been invited to be part of Facebook.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, people are going to go, ah, so what? I don't care if I haven't been invited. It's, you know, sounds like LinkedIn to me. So what do I care?
I was going to ask the thing. I mean, do you know what the difference between this and LinkedIn is?
Well, this is it, right? And I don't know because I can't get into it because they're restricting access. So then, you know, my natural thought progression is, well, stuff them. Well, you know, I've already got LinkedIn. I've already got hundreds of connections there. Why would I care about Facebook?
But you do have access details. We were given them, remember?
Yeah, I know, but the general population.
Ah, right, the great unwashed.
Yeah, these Facebook people that want us to buy their company for $2 billion, yeah, they sent us an email asking if we could have a look.
What else was I going to say? I didn't win my bid to have an afternoon with Alice Cooper. There's this guy, if people haven't heard of this story, there's a guy in the US who's trying to barter his way from a single red paper clip to a house. And he's doing well. Like, so it started like a year ago. And he said, I've got a red paperclip, he'll trade me something. And he's been trading up. And he's at a point now where he's got an afternoon with Alice Cooper as the trade. So I actually sent him an offer to take all of the advertising space across TPN for a period of, I think, 24 hours.
Right.
In return for an afternoon with Alice Cooper. And he came back to me and said, no deal. I didn't go back to him. I'm thinking, do you realize what you just tell me? Do you realize how many people come to this site? 10.
Wow.
Yeah, so 10 people.
So he's valuing Alice Cooper's time more highly than TPN slots. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, you know, I'll promote your auction or your trade through TPN. I mean, you get millions of, you know, but not interested. But anyway, so if you want to win an afternoon with Alice Cooper, you just need to go and trade something with this guy that'll get him closer to getting a house. And, oh, that reminds me of another email. My sister Anita's flatmate, who's also called Cameron, which is kind of weird, sent me this email yesterday. There's some guy, I don't know if you've seen this, there's some guy who was having an argument with his girlfriend about whether or not he could make a page that would get 2 million hits. You seen this?
No.
He was saying to his girlfriend, anyone can come up with some gimmicky idea to get a page that'll get a couple of million hits. And she said, you couldn't do it. And he said, bet I could. She said, bet you couldn't. He said, could. She said, no, you couldn't. He said, all right.
That went on for most of the night.
If I do it, what will you give me? And she said, a threesome.
Oh, jeez. That's all she gave him the advertising.
So he built a page that says, help me get 2 million hits and my girlfriend will do a threesome. Here's a picture of my girlfriend, and she's a cute-looking blonde.
What's the URL? I want to help this man.
Yeah, good question. But before we do that, I want to shout out to Manuel Noriega, who's a listener of ours from Guatemala.
Isn't he president down there or something like that?
He was the president of Panama, but now apparently is living in Guatemala. And he says, hey, Cameron, buenos dias. I've been listening to G'day World for over a year now, and I've been enjoying the shows. I just listened to G'day World 113, and I'm very proud to be one of your four international listeners. Maybe since we are so few, you should address us on a first-name basis. That's true. So we say, Manuel, Ken. What we should do at the end of each show, we should just thank all of our listeners by name.
If you go into the comment section
of this show and just go, hi, this is so-and-so from wherever you live, I will say your name at the end of every show. That's the deal. And we'll read out our audience's name, because there's only five people. And Manuel graduated with a master's degree in engineering from Victoria University in 1999. Says he enjoyed his time in Melbourne, went back to Guatemala, and he's trying to get back to Melbourne. Wants to come back here on a skilled worker's visa.
I went to uni with a guy from Guatemala, really nice guy.
Was it Manuel?
No, it wasn't Manuel. I can't remember his name. That's what age does to you.
You didn't go to university in Melbourne anyway, did you?
No.
So I'm gonna IM you the link for this thing. It's, if you're out there,
help
tuning
win my bet.com.
Hey, how did you find that?
Google is my friend.
You Google bitch. Help win this bet.com, 404/404.
Oh, you've got win this bet.
You got win my. Man. He registered both of those, has he?
Yeah, my most recent update. Is that what you're seeing, or are we on different sites?
Well, we must be on different sites. Mine just says, "So here's the story."
Yeah.
Down there's the bottom, my girlfriend. Updates. April 5th. Is that the last update?
I got April 27. April 6th before that.
Oh, okay. You're way ahead of me. What's his counter now? Because the counter I've got is 1.8 million.
Is that hit whore or strange counter?
Oh, help win my bet.com. Yeah.
That looks like it's over three. What's Expedia coupons? It's not a very well laid out site, that's for sure.
Hold on, this is a different site with a different girlfriend. We're being scammed.
There's multiples of them doing it.
Oh, this is a, and then they got Google AdSense down the bottom, 3.3 million. This is, well, either it's a scam or
doesn't he know he's meant to put the hits at the top? Girlfriend,
oh, this guy's after, like, you know, 74 million hits.
Oh, his girlfriend isn't as nice.
It's good. Well, anyway. My point with the original one, help win this bet.com/404, was, TPN gets about 8 million hits a month. How many chicks can I get for that, do you reckon? I'm going to have to get a Hugh Hefner bed. It's one of those specially made ones that can hold, you know, a dozen chicks. Anyway, there you go. That's just me.
That's just you. I want to have a look at your one as well, so I'm going to have a look at that.
Help win this bet / 404. Much, much more sort of attractive girl, I think. Maybe it's just me.
I like it. It seems interesting. It's formatted very similar.
Yeah. Is this a scam? We should do a similar scam.
We should.
You go talk to your wife. I'll talk to my wife. We'll see if we can get one of them to agree.
Did we want to survive this? I want to know if it's true now. I think we should look into this. Somebody can email us and let us know if they've heard of this and is it a scam. We should actually just check out Snopes, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we should check out Snopes. Final thing I've got is over on Glenn Reynolds' podcast. Glenn's the guy behind Instapundit. I found this on Boing Boing. He's done an interview with Verna Vingay. Verna Vinge. Verna Ving. I've never known how to pronounce Verna's name. Do you know who Verna Vinge is, Rich?
He's the sci-fi author.
Very good, Rich. Very good, mate. You ever read any of his stuff?
No. No.
He's a sci-fi author, and he is most well-known, I guess, for sort of coming up with the use of the word, the singularity, to describe, it had been used before in sort of mathematics and astrophysics, but he used it, applied it to this idea of the point in human society when the technology and change is happening so fast that we can't predict what happens after, you know, that particular point. This is from Wikipedia. He's a mathematician, computer scientist, best known for his Hugo Award-winning novels, A Fire Upon the Deep and A Deepness in the Sky, as well as for his 1993 essay, The Technological Singularity, in which he argues that exponential growth in technology will reach a point beyond which we cannot even speculate about the consequences. See, that was said so much more articulately than I was rambling on there. So there you go. So there's an interview with him over on the Instapundit podcast, which we should check out.
Yeah, that is cool.
He's the man. Okay. Anything else, mate, before we get the frack out of here?
No, I can't find anything in Snopes or anything, so I'll have to do more digging. But yeah, anyone that knows if that's like a load of crap and we've just helped some spam artists get an extra bunch of Google AdSense hits, let us know. But no, I think that from a news point of view, it's about it today.
It's a bit sleepy this morning. There's also shit about Microsoft hiving off Wallop, who cares?
And Microsoft making more money again.
Who cares? Yeah, we don't care. All right, mate. Well, listen, have a good weekend. I just went down to the street this morning and bought a thumping big canvas. It's about 2 meters by 1 point something meters. I'm going to throw that on my living room table today, get out my oils, and have a bit of a paint, I think, after I watch Battlestar Galactica.
I got worried for a split second there after you were talking about canvas spread out across your table with oils, but then I figured out what you're talking about.
Yeah. And before we do that, just to close off, to test out my new mic, I'm going to sing.
Ah, no.
This will be the fade out. Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory stray to that summer's day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart? Do the chairs in your parlor seem empty and bare. Play this to your grandmother, mate. She'll love it. Do you gaze at your doorstep and picture
my grandparents bare? Are dead.
Play it to your wife then.
Probably.
Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight? Do, do,
do, do. I'll do a threesome if we could get 2 million people listening to you do that.
I wonder if you're lonesome tonight. You know, someone said the world's a stage and each must play a part. Fate had me playing in love with you as my sweetheart. Act one was when we met. You read your lines so cleverly and never missed a cue. Then came act two. You seemed to change. You acted strange. And why? I'll never know. Honey, you lied when you said you loved me, but I had no cause to doubt you. I'd rather go on just to hearing your lies than to go on living without you. Now the stage is bared, and I'm standing here with emptiness all around. And if you don't come back to me, then they can bring the curtain down. Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight? Thank you very much.
Lovely jubbly.
Hey, Rich and Cam. Ken Kennedy here. Just stopped running again, listening to the Wednesday podcast. Thought I'd take this opportunity while little birds are chirping and before the rain starts to send you guys a quick comment. There near the end, good show overall, of course. You guys rock. But there near the end, you were actually talking about the Nokia camera phone. And I think that ties in nicely to the Nokia, the whole concept that I'm kind of liking from them, which relates to the 770 the internet tablet thing that I'm very close to being able to stick the review stuff up for. I've got some comparison screenshot pictures that I got to integrate, like Nokia screen versus my iPad screen looking kind of at the same thing versus BlackBerry, because I have one of those for work, and another cell phone that I use for like Molo GoGo. It's a good GPS thing. If you've never played with that, that's cool too. But just how things scale down. But anyway, I think, you know, Nokia is of the mindset, and I'm on board with this, of a couple of devices. Like you said, Rich, it's cool to not be have to carry both a camera and a phone. Phone, good idea. Phone has, you know, communications capability, data transfer. You know, it's pricey, but if you need it, you need it. It's small, fits in your pocket well, has a camera on it, excellent. But I just do not see the phone or the evolution of the phone as a browsing device. And there's the other thing you like to do is, you know, have the capability of, you know, reading the internet, or browsing possibly even a PDF, but certainly books on HTML, which I have an example of in my blog, and the Nokia review. And the internet tablet, I think, is what they try to match with the phone. This is their concept thing. And it does an outstanding job. You know, it can pair with the phone and use the phone's data transfer capacity if it needs to. If you're not in a Wi-Fi hotspot, if you're in a Wi-Fi hotspot, you can use that. It's a much nicer screen. You know, it's 800 by 480. The thing is beautiful. It's a much better browsing experience for both reading documents and for browsing the web. And I really think that kind of, and, you know, if you're going somewhere where you don't have room for anything except the minimal, well, you leave that at home. And you just have the phone. And you're down to your minimal. You can, you know, take a call from your wife and you can take a picture and you can hook all the rest of it up later. But anyway, I think that's where they're going with the tablet. And just listening to you guys talk about that, kind of wanted to comment on it. Anyway, hope things are well, and we'll talk to you soon. See ya.
Thank you. Rod Adams here. I became a host on the podcast network after being inspired by TPN's tagline, "Real power cannot be given, it must be taken." I'm a former nuclear submarine engineer officer, a former teacher, and an aspiring atomic entrepreneur. I've been writing about power for more than a decade at Atomic Insights, www.atomicinsights.com, and decided that a podcast would be a great vehicle for reaching even more thinkers and doers. On The Atomic Show, Shane Brown, my co-host, and I share information about energy technology, the established energy industry, and the possibilities for disrupting the existing power structure by using more atomic power. We think that you will enjoy listening to us chat, even when we digress into seemingly unrelated topics. We'll put up a show about once a week, and we welcome your comments and interaction. Check us out at atomic.thepodcastnetwork.com.
Atomic Insights.